on December the 17th of 1903. After the Wright brothers completed their first flight at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, they sent home a short telegram which simply stated the words that you see behind me right now. Venture succeeded, home for Christmas. Whether they knew it or not, their venture ushered in a new age. That new age flew almost 1 billion travelers to their families in this past year. It will probably be the heaviest travel year in history. It will probably surpass 2019. And along with that new age, their coming home announcement may have seemed somewhat mundane. But for anyone who has ever longed to be home for Christmas, they know that those two topics of that telegram are of equal importance. Over my 45-year career in aviation, I have worked every single Christmas since 1979. There's a gentleman in these pews today that's probably worked almost as many as I have in that venture, but in my industry, we do work 24/7, 365. And for those of us, which would include probably first responders and military and others that work in that environment, it creates a family bond that few really understand and know. But the early church knew that bond. They knew a bond at a different level than we see today when we oftentimes just come to church one time a week. The early church had to do life together. And it created a family bond that few outside of a family could even possibly understand. I know firsthand what it's like that's like. I know what it's like to not be home for Christmas. I know it can be lonely. Singles and those who serve in the military or are estranged from their families say it's often the most difficult time of the year. After all, what could be worse than not being home among family and friends at Christmas or for the holidays? But my message this morning is not about our biological families or our friends. The family that I want to talk about this morning is a family that we all celebrated last Monday on Christmas Day. And that family is our holy family, the family that you're surrounded by right now, that has to do thick and thin life with you from now to you entering eternity. That family came into being on the very first Christmas Day. And that family is a family that anyone can belong to if they so desire. That family offers endless joy and eternal fulfillment wherever you go in this world in your life. And we find that family story of odd places today in front of us in this prologue of John's Gospel. He doesn't tell us the narrative of Christmas that we heard on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. He doesn't talk about wise men or an angel or the baby in the manger or any of those things like that. He tells us about the incarnation. And I might say that probably there are no four paragraphs in all of literature with the elegance, beauty, and power of these verses before us this morning from John's Gospel. I can honestly say that no actor is skilled enough to read them with proper power. No preacher can even hope to explain them adequately. Because it's only through the Holy Spirit that can even try to measure the depth and meaning of John's words that you heard this morning. So I'm going to ask you to follow along with me as John tells his version of the Christmas story. John opens with some very strange words when you think about it for the beginning of creation, because it's interesting that he uses the same words that were used at the beginning of creation. He says, in the beginning was the Word. Doesn't seem much like an introduction to a Christmas story, but John wanted us to understand that Christmas had its beginning long before Mary, Joseph, and long before a place called Bethlehem. John wanted us to know the one he is about to introduce was always with God. And for our sake, that same eternal God had come down from heaven to dwell among us, to save us from our sinful selves. John was still in the very opening verses when he reveals the conflict that exists in this dark world. He says in verses 4 and 5 that the Word is the light of the human race, and that the light had come in to shine in the darkness. After all, what is light for? But to overcome darkness. But the very existence of darkness tells us that there is a battle to be won. How much of a battle? Well, notice what verse 10 tells us. The world came into being through him, yet the world knew him not. It's like the grand playwright appears in the middle of his own production, the actors don't even recognize him or know who he is. John then goes on to say in verse 11, he came to his own home. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. Friends, there are very few words in all of Scripture more extraordinary, more wrought with tragedy than those words right there. As John's gospel tells the family Christmas story, Jesus wasn't only shut out from the inn with Joseph and Mary that night he came to this earth, he was also shut out of his own home that he created. That's astounding when you think about it. Christmas, the great season of homecoming, began with our Lord Jesus being shut out of his own home that he created as God Almighty. But the good news is the family story doesn't end there. Jesus came to his own home and fully accepted that rejection so that he might establish a new home for this fallen human race that we're a part of, that he might begin a new family. And dare we call it, and I say dare we call it, the Holy Family or the family of God. The details of how that occurs are found in verses 12 and 13, when John says in verse 12, but to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God himself. That's remarkable. A new family was coming into existence, a family born of God. But before we can unpack all that, I need to provide a little quick refresher and reminder of what has occurred since this earth was created. The Old Testament tells us God gave us and gave the human race a beautiful home, a garden paradise, in fact. But we rebelled against God and listened to the voice of Satan. As a result, sin, death, thorns, and thistles entered Eden. And in that moment, we became a lost and wayward people, all of us. By original creation, we were the children of God. But by our own choice, we became children of the devil, as the Old Testament puts it. God's holy word didn't give us any middle ground after the fall. If we don't choose to turn and follow him, our only alternative is to remain children of destruction, destined for hell. Nightly news illustrates how given we are to that destruction, doesn't it? We see war, hatred, prejudice, addiction, pornography, hunger, poverty. It reveals the decay and destruction that now fully engulfs the human race. It's a far cry from our original Eden home that God created. Things had gone violently wrong, and they still are. The majority of the Old Testament then reveals God's continuing efforts to bring the wayward human race, all of us, back into his divine loving presence. But we continued to fail. And then finally, as we heard in the reading from Galatians that was just read to you, in the fullness of time, and man, I could camp out there. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his begotten Son that we might receive adoption as his sons and become part of a new family and heirs of a new heavenly home. Christmas was God's heavenly desire to redeem us to himself. Friends, God himself laid in that manger for us. He came here to restore Eden by the way of Bethlehem, by the way of a new family, a holy family. A holy family of brothers and sisters united through the Spirit of his Son living within our hearts. You see, this all boils down to the fact that God wants a personal relationship with you, with all of us. He wants a relationship that is beyond king and subject. He wants the Abba, Father-Son relationship. That's what God wants to restore, and that's what He came here to restore. When we receive Christmas for what it truly is, we become children of God. Children brought back to our rightful place in His holy family. I had a New Testament professor one time that said these words. He said, of verse 12, of all who received Him, He gave power to become the children of God, could have been placed at the very beginning of the New Testament. That it would be the key to all that follows in the Gospels, the Epistles, and even the book of Revelation. Because the climax of the entire biblical story is a kind of family reunion in heaven. A family reunion in heaven. I hope my granny's pecan pie will be there. The Holy Scriptures make it very clear, folks. This holy family is God's desire. That's the family you're sitting to and next to right now. Your biological family can be on the other side of the planet. Your family, from now to eternity and through eternity, is where you're at right now. That's where God has brought you. And that's because we do all of life together right here as a family. Good, bad, indifferent. It's all done here with this family. But before that can happen, something else has to happen. We must all be reborn, as John says in verse 13. Not of blood or the will of the flesh or even the will of man, but of God Himself we must be reborn. A rebirth must occur. Friends, if we're to come into that renewed relationship with our Heavenly Father, it won't be through any human effort or admirable deserving. It will be by God's grace and divine grace alone, because only He can bring about that reunion. And it is a reunion. It's not like we're strangers to God. We have to remember, folks, that we're all prodigals. Every single one of us is a prodigal. Everyone. Everyone has strayed from home. Our true homes aren't in Texas. They haven't been in North Carolina. They haven't been in Pennsylvania. And they're not in Texas or wherever you're from. Your true home is in heaven. It's your heavenly family, the holy family, that you pick up family members along with on the journey through this side to eternity. Folks, God so desired His family to be reunited that He came to earth incarnate in Jesus to give us the opportunity to become His children once again. St. John's gospel clearly reveals the key to that transformation is in our believing. It's all about believing that. Specifically, those who believe in the name of Jesus Christ. It's only by accepting Jesus for who He is that you and I can become who we are meant to be. Did you hear that? Let's say it again. It's only by accepting Jesus for who He is that you and I can become who we are meant to be. The fact is, whoever or whatever is Lord of your life has power over it. Trust me. If you believe in materialism and desire it above all things, it'll rule your life. If you believe in Jesus, He'll give you power to become a child of God. Simply said, my friends, we belong to that which we believe. We belong to that which we believe. That's why believing is such a powerful, life-changing thing. It's only by believing that we receive the promise to become children of God. John uses the verb believe 85 times in his gospel. And he states clearly in the 20th chapter that his gospel is written that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ and by believing have eternal life in His name. That puts it, if you want to look at one verse and find out what you need to read the book for and know Jesus for, listen to that verse. Because it's by that believing that you get eternal life. Through receiving and believing, we become empowered by Jesus. Friends, John's Christmas story is a family homecoming story. Not because we can remember past family celebrations, not because of the Christmas celebrations that maybe just occurred in recent days. The incarnation made possible the renewed holy family of God. Because the truth is, we're all strangers on this planet as long as we're estranged from God, all of us. Even amid family, friends, surrounded by all the things so near and dear to us, we still feel an unexplainable homesickness in our hearts. All of us. G.K. Chesterton described this human condition in a poem. It's titled The House of Christmas. Chesterton wrote, "We have hands that fashion and heads that know, but our hearts we lost how long ago?" I tell you how long ago. At the fall, when we first were disobedient to God and started wondering. That's when it happened. That's when we failed to believe and in disobedience wandered from the Father's house. And the good news before us today is God and his love for you and for me made it possible for us to once again be part of that family. God made it possible for us to come home when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Because it's all about believing that that gives us the opportunity to be a family today and eternally. Jesus became homeless in Bethlehem, so you and I, and all believers, could become part of a new holy family. That's remarkable. That is a level of unconditional love that we can't even understand or fathom, to be honest with you. It's like trying to understand the incarnation. We do our best to wrap our minds around it, but it's beyond our scope. But that's the level of God's love for each of us. Friends, our Lord Jesus Christ accepted his rejection to restore this family. The family that we're a part of here spans the globe today. No matter where you go, you can find a family member. The incarnation, the Word made flesh, enabled our reconciliation, quite simply. Or as C.S. Lewis so beautifully said long ago, the Son of God became a man to enable man to become sons of God. My brothers and sisters, the people around you right now, and the people in this church family that you're attached to all around the world, are our adopted brothers and sisters because we're all adopted. Every one of us. We are the adopted, restored family of God. We are the holy family of God. That's hard to put into understanding in our own minds, but we are, in God's vision. We are the holy family of God. We're the first family of God, the Christmas family. So I want to tell you today, as we continue in our Christmas journey, because it's not over yet, I want to tell you Merry Christmas. And I want to echo the words that two guys said long ago in 1903, venture succeeded. The venture was succeeded when Jesus came to this earth and gave us an opportunity to become part of a family that we don't even have any right to be a part of because we're all wayward. We're all prodigal. But he gave us that. And that's the greatest gift we'll ever receive in this lifetime. That's the gift of Christmas. That's the eternal gift that keeps giving long after the batteries wear out and everything that we got this year and all the things that are in our closet get stacked up over the decades you never use again. That gift continues to give into eternity. And it gives because you're part of the family, the holy family of God. So I say Happy New Year and welcome home. Welcome home in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.